You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to get a peek into the most popular coaching themes among my clients in 2016. Consider it free coaching, except I'm happy to send you a PayPal invoice if you insist. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. Although everyone I coach one-on-one are uniquely different, awesome, inspired people with various struggles, goals, and situations that make their goals challenging to achieve, at the end of the day, everyone works with me for the same reason. So healthy eating can become their norm so they can feel, look, and live their best. Boom shakalaka. Because that's the way it goes, you know. When healthy eating is your norm, and you know I define healthy eating as eating more plants than you do crap. More on this is in episode one if you want to listen. When you make healthy eating your norm, you have so much more energy. You kick illnesses in the crotch. Your skin glows. Your poops rock. Your body's toned. Your mind thinks clearly. You're in a damn good mood all the time, probably because of all the things I just stated, and you're just confident, settled, more relaxed, and thus more able to do the things or have the relationships or meet the deadlines that light your heart on fire. But though my clients come to me from different backgrounds, foregrounds, and zip codes, I have noticed some very common topics of discussion I've had with all of them throughout this year. So, I figured if these common topics help my diverse range of coachees become their healthiest, happiest selves, they can certainly help my diverse range of listeners too. And that's the goal with this podcast, isn't it? So, let me count down the 6 most popular topics among my coaching clients in 2016 in no particular order. Topic number 1, eat when you're hungry, not because it's 12:01. I think hearing all the must eat breakfast, must eat 5 small meals a day, must eat 3 meals a day, must not eat after 8 p.m. I think all that stuff has screwed with people's abilities to make their own eating decisions. I've had clients who quite literally forced breakfast down their throats. Okay, not literally, literally, but they believe that breakfast is the most important meal of the day and that they must eat breakfast. I've had clients who set timers to make sure they eat meals at exactly the right time as per the rule, eat 5 small meals a day, and would anxiously eat their meal the moment their timer went off so they didn't screw up their system. And I've had clients suffer from 8 to 11 p.m. when they were hungry but adhering to that whole no eating after 8 p.m. embargo. All of these people were eating or not eating at these times because someone somewhere wrote something or said something that they took to be universal and true. But our digestive systems are not universal. Our hunger levels are not all the same. You wouldn't make your thick-thighed husband adhere to a fashion rule that every male must wear skinny jeans, would you? You wouldn't force your tomboy daughter or niece into a pink dress because girls must wear dresses. Why am I only using fashion analogies? Okay, my point is you've always got to eat for your body, for your situation, for your feeling goodness. If you adhere to the rule that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, but your job requires you to wake up at 5 a.m. to get to your office on time, does that mean you should be eating at 5 a.m. before your digestive system has even woken up? No. If you're so set on not eating after 8 p.m., but you had your evening workout at 6, had dinner at 7:30, and are still a little hungry from all those push pressures at 9, does that mean you shouldn't have a little Sun Warrior plant protein mixed with some coconut yogurt before you hit the hay? No. What I'm trying to say is we all have to first and foremost listen to our bodies and then let them tell us our rules. Not a headline on a magazine. There's no universal anything when it comes to what's right for our bodies, other than that whole eat tons of plants thing. So I always encourage my clients, and I'm also encouraging you right now to do the same. Eat the way your body feels best. End of story. Topic number 2 totally relates to this concept, so I'm just switching up the order here to lump them together. And that is to remember that food makes you feel stuff and to start paying attention to it. A lot of times, clients will come to me feeling foggy, lethargic, fat, and frustrated, looking for the perfect plant-based solution to their feeling crappiness. But the thing is, it's not just that plant-based recipes make you feel super. It's also that other food makes you feel sucky too. So right from the get-go, when someone comes to work with me, I often ask them what foods make them feel great and what foods don't. How does dairy make you feel? What about gluten? What about animal products? How do you digest them? And seriously, sometimes just asking these questions, encouraging my client to go back to their day-to-day life and actually ponder, okay, I just ate a bagel. How do I feel? That's enough to warrant the whole price of coaching with me, because they finally made the connection that certain foods make them feel certain ways. And so removing those unhealthy certain foods stops being a question of willpower, but rather a decision of wanting to feel their absolute best. It's amazing, and I really encourage you to take a little look-see at how foods are making you feel. Topic number three is really the most 2016 focused, because I feel like this year was the year that pounds of peanut, cashew, almond, and sunflower butter got dumped by the cupful onto food bloggers' oatmeals and smoothie bowls. I have so many health coaching clients coming to me super amped because they're eating so much Justin's almond butter because it's healthy, right? I mean, sure. It's not really unhealthy. I mean, yeah, almonds are really nutritious. The fats and nuts are great for us. They provide some protein, some fiber. They can balance your blood sugar and make you feel less hungry after eating it. Great. But like a tablespoon of it, maybe two tablespoons of it. Have you ever actually portioned out one tablespoon of nut butter? Have you spread it on a piece of toast and saw how thin that layer wound up being on the sad, barely nut buttered crunchy bread? It's embarrassing how little one tablespoon can take you. But that's like roughly 100 calories you just added in one tablespoon of nut butter, which I doubt is all you ever eat. Okay, let me back up for a second. I just need to say, I don't count calories. I don't even really eat food that comes with calories written on it because I eat mostly unprocessed plants. But I have come to understand that fat, albeit healthy, yes, has a lot of calories and can be a lot hard to digest. I used to also buy into the, but it's almond butter, it's healthy idea. But then I also had to buy bigger size pans. Because almond butter, when we dump buckets of it onto our oatmeal, toast, smoothie bowls, sweet potatoes, bananas, spoons, and fingers, adds up calorie-wise big time. And if we're not careful and just start throwing almond butter into, onto, under, around everything because it's healthy, we all start seeing and feeling some undesired results. I go through this with almost all of my health coaching clients. Pump the brakes on the peanut butter. Just pump them a little. See how lessening your nut butter intake feels for you. Remember, because food makes you feel stuff. And then we'll rediscuss. And lo and behold, I've never had a client say that they felt better with not as much nut butter. Topic number four is simply to have a bedtime. It's kind of silly that I routinely help grown-ups hit their bedtime, but I do find it's one of the most powerful changes I make with clients. After childhood, we all sort of just say, bedtime? I've got this, and usually just wing it. But our moms were onto something with the whole bedtime thing. It's really helpful, healthy, and important to get good sleep, and not just for kids. Think about what you're doing the moments leading up to sleep. Are you browsing the internet for workout clothes you don't need to be buying? Are you comparing yourself to your ex's new girlfriend? Are you watching stupid television that does not enrich your life in any way? And then, are you tired the next day? Are you running late? Are you not having enough time to make that workout class before work or eat a healthy breakfast if you feel like eating breakfast? It's amazing what just setting a little reminder on your phone can do. 10:30 p.m., buzz, time to get into bed and read something that makes your brain happy and then be able to wake up earlier and do something that makes your body happy. I am routinely helping clients prioritize their bedtime for themselves the way their mothers did for them when they were kids. And I'm routinely seeing the insane positive effects it has on their entire lives. But like, you don't have to tell your mom she was right. Topic number 5 is to focus on getting some plant protein in every meal or snack. If I had a packet of Sun Warrior plant protein for every time I spoke to a client about focusing on their plant protein intake, well, I'd be able to open an IHOP serving just plant-based protein pancakes. For all goals, weight loss, sustained energy, balancing your mood, hitting the gym, whatever, focusing on getting more plant protein into your diet is the golden freaking ticket. Many of my clients, when I say this, don't even know where to begin. I often hear, I eat lots of nut butter. Of course, but nut butter isn't the only source of plant protein out there, my friends. And it's not even a great source because it takes quite a long amount of time to digest it due to its high fat content and all the other stuff I mentioned in my little nut butter rant back in topic number 3. Some great sources of plant protein: lentils, black beans, chickpeas, oats, hemp seeds, chia seeds, quinoa, tempeh, tofu, the non-GMO organic kind, edamame, Sun Warrior's plant protein powder, some plant protein bars, homemade plant protein bars. I've linked some in the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/14. It's a really smart idea to get some plant protein, or non-plant if you do eat stuff like eggs or fish, with every meal or snack. It'll help you feel up faster, eat less, feel stronger, recover from workouts quicker, think sharper, fight off colds easier, balance your blood sugar better, and keep your waistline slimmer. And if those aren't enough reasons to prioritize your plant protein, well, they have to be enough reason, right? I mean, come on. Okay, so the 6th most popular health coaching topic of 2016 is, if you think you're not stressed, you're probably just looking at stress wrong. Stress is the thief of everything: our immunity, our happiness, our sleep, our digestion, our weight, our healthy eating habits, everything. Yet so many clients come to me with all of those issues, the big whammy being digestion. But when I ask them how their stress is, they all say they're not stressed. They're fine, no biggie. Not compared to most people. But then we dig deeper. And it comes out that discussing food with their mom is an enormously unpleasant activity, or that they pray their car breaks down on the way to work each day because they hate their job, or they're always running at least 15 minutes late to everything on their jam-packed calendar. But like, I'm not Beyonce, I had one client say. I can get it all done. Yeah, sure you can. Stressfully. I've seen a lot of people misinterpret stress as anxiety. They look at their coworkers who's always anxious about everything and say, well, compared to her, I'm not stressed at all. They've accepted their 15 plus minute lateness as their norm. So they're just like, ah, that's just who I am. So they don't see that all these times where they're nervous about how it's going to look when they walk into the meeting late, or they're brainstorming what excuse to use for their child who's been waiting for them that were running late at school to pick them up, or their boyfriend who's waiting for them at the restaurant, they don't realize that all this is causing them, their digestion, their immunity, their sugar cravings, everything, stress. Not to stress you out, but you're probably experiencing more stress than you might be aware of. And if you're suffering from chronic IBS or digestive issues, you're especially probably experiencing more stress than you might be aware of. Just start to notice it and go back and listen to episode 10 about how I quit anxiety for some advice on how to manage it better. Or reach out and we can work one-on-one. Because stress affects the rest and destroys our health the best and just, well, causes a mess. Which is why I'm all about making healthy living as fun as a party, as non-sucky as possible. Because you really cancel out a lot of the health benefits of your healthy diet when you're stressed while eating it. So smile, take a deep breath, pump the brakes on the nut butter, pay attention to how food makes you feel and eat more of what feels good and less of what doesn't. Eat when you're hungry, not when it's 12:01. Enjoy snoozing a little earlier, put more plant protein into your pie hole, and above all else, do it all because you want to be the best freaking possible version of yourself throughout this life of yours. Thank you so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I'd love to know which of the 6 most popular coaching topics resonated with you the most. So head on over to partyinmyplants.com/14 to leave a comment. And if you can think of 1 or maybe even 2 people who could benefit from this show in their ears, share it with them. Oh, and also, if you ever have a question you want answered on the show, feel free to send it to me by going to partyinmyplants.com/answermyq.